Okay, this parasha, this week we have Parshas Behaloscha. Parshas Behaloscha, as you probably have seen already, is loaded with many, many fascinating things going on in the parasha. And the last part of Behaloscha is the famous episode of Miriam and Aaron and Moshe Rabbeinu. Miriam and Aaron saying something about Moshe Rabbeinu's something, very unclear. I'll read the psukim just to give you a, just a chazer, remind you what it says. Daber Miriam ve'Aaron v'Moshe. Miriam and Aaron speak about Moshe, alodos ha'isha kushis asher lakach, regarding the woman who was a kushit that he married. Ki isha kushis lakach, okay. Now they say something like this. Vayomru, arak, ach b'Moshe diber Hashem, Haloga Banadiber. But Moshe only spoke to Hashem only spoke to Moshe, not to us. But why does he think he's better than us? He's acting different than us. He's separated from his wife, Rashi says over here from Chazal. Well, why does he think he has to act in a more unique way than we do? We also spoke to Hashem. Vayishma Hashem. Hashem hears. Pasuk Gimel, famous pasuk. Vayish Moshe Anav Ma'od Mikol Ha'adam Asher Al-Pnei Ha'adama. Moshe was the humblest of men that walked on the face of this earth. Now, the rest of the story, as they say, is history. Really history. What happened? What happened was that they come out, and Hashem explains to Moshe and Aaron that they, that Moshe's nevuah is very different, and that Miriam has tzaras, etc., and that's the parsha ends, and they wait until Miriam leaves, period. The beginning of this story needs a lot of attention, and I want to really focus on two ideas. About the midah of anava, I want to speak about the midah of humility today. And I want to just focus on the pasuk about Ish Moshe Anav Ma'od. Moshe was the most humble person. Everybody asks the obvious question, which is that it says at the end of the Torah in Parshas Zot HaBeracha, very good, very end of the Torah, Perek Lamed Dalet. Now, it's like the third to last pasuk in the Torah. V'lo kam navi o bi Yisrael ka Moshe. Asher yidao Hashem panim al panim. There's no navi like Moshe Rabbeinu. There was no one ever as great as Moshe Rabbeinu. Avdi Moshe. Here he's called Avdi Moshe over here. Lochen Avdi Moshe. B'chol beisi nemanu. He's the most reliable. He's the man. Pe'al pe'al daber bo. It says over here, I'll speak to him mouth to mouth. And etc. Avdi Moshe. Avdi Moshe. So the obvious question is, how is it possible that Moshe Rabbeinu was the most greatest anav al pnei ha'adama if he's also the greatest person? Like, how does that work? How do those two things coexist? How can it be a person that's like the most talent in the world, the most, the greatest Rebbe of all time? Who else is called Rabbeinu?
Not people.
Who's called Rabbeinu? Not like Rabbeinu. Like Moshe, his middle name is Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu. There's no Avram Abeinu Rabbeinu. Avram Avinu. Yaakov Avinu. Avinu. Moshe Rabbeinu. He's the Rebbe. He's the Rebbe of all Rebbes. And he's the most humble. Like, how does it even make any sense? What's the pshat in this? So in the sefer that I have in front of me, Rav Neiman and Darkei Musar, he has a very, very fascinating idea. And I want to really develop two ideas on this topic. One is, he says that it's very, very obvious the following. It's not something which is based on seichel, he says, but rather it's something which is based on neshama. What does that mean? He says, in the world of neshama, there is no gaiva. There is no haughtiness. There is no self. Why? Because what's the neshama? The neshama is a piece of Hashem. And Hashem, we say about Hashem, b'mokom gedulaso, in Hashem's place of His greatness, shama tamotze an visanusa, which means wherever you find Hashem's greatness, you always find Hashem's humility. Hashem has this unbelievable ability, because He's Hashem, to have a sense of being the quote-unquote greatest. Hashem is the creator of everything. And at the same time, tremendous humility. The fact that he even, Kav Yachol, says, okay, talk to me. I want to hear what you have to say. I want to hear your thoughts. I'm interested in hearing Noam Anunu's tefillah. I mean, I'm interested in Akiva Perlisky's Shmir Shabbos. I'm interested in Zevi Rader's Mitzvah Hanachas Tefillin every day. You know, learning a Maseches Sota, whatever. You hear a word, Rabbi Osai? Why is that such a tremendous humility? That's such a sense of a sign of greatness. And he points out so beautiful over here the following idea. He says, the more a person connects to their own neshama, the more humble they are. And the more a person's connected to physicality is, the more gaiva he is. Why? Because the guf that we have, the guf is unfortunately strongly connected to gaiva. Our guf is naturally, our body, you know, what do we show about our body is our guf. So like, you know, where does gaiva come from? You see my muscles? I'm working out, that's guf, right? You see how skinny I am? Because I'm very fit, that's guf. My hair is very groomed, psh. I got a nice beard. Wanunu, second shout out for Wanunu, got a nice beard. Kiva, almost there. Yeah, so, you know, those are all physical things. In the physical realm, that's where the gaiva comes in. I have a nice fancy car, a nice house. All those things are physical things, and those are areas where a person has gaiva. But a person that's connected to their neshama, that's connected to their spiritual side, who's a spiritual being, whose essence is spiritual, so there's much less room for a gaiva. And he quotes the famous pasuk in the Navi. The Navi says, "Ko amar Hashem al yisalel chacham b'chachmaso." The wise person shouldn't be praised for his wisdom, v'gibor b'gvuraso, and the strong person for his strength, v'ashir b'ashro. Why? Because these things lead to gaiva, and therefore don't praise him for that. Ki im bezos yisalel v'salel. What should a person be praised for? Where is place of praise, Haskel v'yodo ha'asi. They should be praised in their knowledge of Hashem. Once they're more connected to Hashem, the more connected to Hashem, the more connected they are to their neshama, and in a more natural way, as we'll soon see, they are mostly connected to their essence, who they are. Moshe Rabbeinu is called in Zos HaBracha also. Zos HaBracha, Asher Barach Moshe, Ish Ha Elokim. As Bnei Yisrael. What does it mean, Ish Elokim, man of God? What it means is he's a godly man. What does it mean to be a godly man? What's the difference between a non-godly man, an earthly man, if you will, and a godly man? So the answer is an earthly man is into earth. And he's into gashmias. He's into physical things. He's a regular human being. But a godly man, Moshe Rabbeinu, who's called Ish Ha Elokim, he is the man of Hashem, means that his essence was a godly essence. And the more godly you are, the more spiritual you are, the more detached and disconnected you are from physical things, the more naturally you are going to be in the state of humility. A very, very important lesson. Practical. How do you work on gaiva? Cut back on your gashmias. What's the connection? Gashmias is like physical. Gaiva's midos. Anava's midos. The answer is, again, the more a person's into himself and into his things and into his gashmias, the more unfortunately he'll be in the trap of chas v'shalom falling into gaiva. The more a person says, I don't need that stuff, I don't want that stuff, it's totally okay, I'm fine without it, the less he'll be excited and drawn to gashmias.
Who says that?
That's from the Sefer Darchei Musa. Before I get to my next quick machshava, I want to share with you just a reflection about this idea that I noticed this past week. I went on Tuesday to Gershon Edelstein's Levaya. Gershon Edelstein was a tremendous giant and a very super humble person. Humble, like he was defined by his humility. And just to not that we need a raya from this idea, but just to show how much this idea applied to his life, there was a photographer that went into his house during the Levaya to take a picture of like how he lived. I say house. It's more like a hovel than a house. You know, two rooms. Very small. His bed was like a, you know, there was like a pull-out bed for like, you know, if there was someone else that would sleep in the room with him. One bed like a, you know, like a couch bed that has a pull-out under it. Mattress like, you know, probably like yay thick. You know. Gashmias didn't mean him. It meant nothing to him. Like, he wasn't into Gashmias. He didn't care about it. It was, you know, he wasn't nothing. It was, you know, it was ruchnius. It was spirituality. He was a spiritual person. He went to the Panovich Yeshiva when he was, before he was 20 years old. Spent the last 80 plus years in the yeshiva there as a Rebbe, and ultimately becoming a Rosh Yeshiva there. But like, no, nothing. There was no draw to Gashmius. It wasn't like, okay, how do I have nothing? And humility and spirituality go together. The more spiritual, the more humble. The more physical, the more we're into Gashmius, the more we're into our physical existence, the more, unfortunately, we have to be concerned and wary of the Midah of Gaiva. But I want to share with you an amazing insight I saw last night, amazing insight, which I really also think personified Rav Kirshner Augustin very, very much, personified him. And I want to tell you a secret that I think, if we get the secret, so it'll be a very, very chashuv yisod, helping us understand this Midah of Anava, which is a very, very precious Midah. The Ramban in his letter, Igeres Ramban, spends almost the whole letter talking about Anava. And it's a very, 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 very chashuv Midah. I mean, that we all want to try to aspire to achieve more of it, to become more and more humble. So listen to this amazing vart from Shimshon Rafal Hirsch. You ready, Kibush? Mm-hmm. Listen to this. The question in these two that I read before is, what's the connection between their Lashon Hara and Vayish Moshe Anav Ma'od Michol Anav Asha Pnei Ha'adama? How do those things go together? What's the flow of the psukim? And the pasuk says over here that Vayish Moshe Anamod, they speak Lashon Hara. Did Hashem only speak to Moshe? He also spoke to us. And then it says Vayish Moshe Anav Ma'od Michol Anav Asha Pnei Ha'adama. What is that? What's that flow? You ready for a vort? Zakt of Shimshon Rafal Hirsch, an amazing thought. I never knew this till last night. Thanks to you guys, I saw this. He says, why did they ever speak about Moshe the way they did? What caused them to speak the way they did?
Jealousy?
You would have said that. No, he says. You know what caused it? Moshe's humility caused it. Why? They had no idea that Moshe had a different level of nevuah than them. They had no clue. Why did they know? Because he made himself like a regular person always. Moshe didn't carry himself as like, okay, one second, guys, excuse me, you stay down here. I'm gonna, you know, now go talk to Hashem in my own special place. He never said a word about his unique status of nevuah. So they had no clue. So they were like caught off guard. Like, why are you separating from your wife? Hashem also spoke to us. Like, what? So that's the flaw of the psukim. The Torah says, let me explain to you now why they spoke about Moshe Rabbeinu, because he was so humble. What does that mean, he was so humble? He was so humble in the sense that he didn't look at himself as anything different than anybody else. He was a regular person. Who am I? I'm no great sheikhs. I'm nothing really special. I'm just a regular person. That's really what he felt of himself. That's what he thought of himself. And because he had that beautiful midah, unfortunately that's why I spoke about him, but that is the most coveted midah, which we want to speak about for a little bit more. And I heard a few stories, anecdotes about Edelstein, and I really want to share with you that I think are very, very special. That's what Shimshon Rafal Hirsch said, that part that I think really epitomized this thinking. Imagine this. Imagine you have a Rosh Hashiva. It was not just Rosh Hashiva, he's the God of Adar. That's what Rav Edelstein was just now. He's still giving a shir to what these guys, 17-year-old guys. Who could he give shir to? Anybody he wants. He never like decided, okay, I want to like, okay, as I, you know, move up in status, in stature in the yeshiva, I said, now I'm also going to give a shir on a higher level. No. He could have given like, you know, any shir. No, that's it. Like, I'm staying the first year Rebbe in the yeshiva. But more, listen to this. I heard recently someone on the radio was describing like their experience. They said like, he should give shir, and after shir you encourage guys to come and bring him questions. And after shir, imagine this, it happened like a year ago or whatever, very recently, a 17-year-old boy comes to the Gadol Hador basically with his notes that he wrote on the sugya to have a Rebbe look at them. And that's totally fine and normal. And what did he do? Yeah. And he spent time looking it over and giving each boy like attention. Like, hi, you're the Gadol Hador. Like, you don't have to do that. Like let the Shaul Meishiv do that. You know what I mean? Let the lower chevra do that. But like the Gadol HaDor is 100 years old, is going to make himself accessible and encourage 17-year-old Talmidim to write the notes up and have him come check the notes and make sure that they're getting the sugya right. It's a sense of like, it's humongous, and it's a sense of like really feeling like I'm not greater than anybody else. I'm not. And I really believe that part of his greatness was that that's how he looked at himself. He didn't look at himself as like, I'm any better than anybody else. He looked at himself as, I'm a rabbi. I'm a rabbi in yeshiva. I'm here to teach Torah. I do the job that I'm supposed to do, the best that I could do. And that idea of humility being that a person doesn't even realize that they're being humble, and doesn't even realize that they're doing anything different, they're just doing what they should be doing, is a very, very important chash of peace in the midah of Anava. Vayish Moshe Anav Ma'od Mikol Ha'adam Asha'al Pnei Ha'adama means that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't even realize he was humble. Didn't think he was humble. Sometimes people think that they're humble and they praise themselves and their humility, and that's unfortunately a big sense of gaiva. You know, like, I'm so humble. So the Seder Sharm writes about that in Perek Yud Aleph. He writes, there's a lot of different shapes and sizes and of gaiva. Gaiva comes in lots of different kinds of forms. Sometimes people could, like, mamish act in the most humble kind of way, and really what they're trying to do is flex their muscles and project to the world how humble they are, which is really coming from a very, very inappropriate place of gaiva. But for a person to really look at himself and say, you know what, I'm not any great shakes. For a person to have the self-awareness, to have the connection with their neshama, to have the appreciation of who they really are, to a point that they're going to say, you know what, I'm here to do a mission. I'm trying my best to do what I can do. Nothing to praise. I don't know if I'm right. I'll close with this. This is just a hargasha I have. It's a feeling I have. It might be wrong. But I feel like a lot of Gedol Yisrael, when they're like praised for their greatness, and like they become very uncomfortable, I don't think that their reaction of being uncomfortable is a fake reaction. I think they really, really genuinely feel like they are inadequate. I really feel like they feel like there's so much more that they could do. Like they really feel like why are you praising me for this? Like either I'm just doing what I should be doing, or like I could be doing so much more, and like please don't praise me for it, because it's like it's just not. It's not a thing. Like it's not like you know. Sometimes people go like this, you know. And they like, no. Don't. But they really want. They really want this. They push with the right hand, but they like that's not real. That's fake. What the real is that a person just tries their best to be themselves and to act in the most genuine and real, sincere way. Like I said before, connected to the neshama, connected to the ruchni side of themselves. But a normal. Be normal. Normal. And this is what Rav Gershon was. Rav Gershon was a very normal person. He wasn't a person that like was like, you know, wow. He was very abnormal. He was very amazing, very unique. But so much of his greatness, I think, was in his normalcy and his ability to be able to be connected to the people, to be able to be one and united with people, understanding people, to teach Torah, but not to like think anything great of himself for doing what he did. You know, he never missed a shir. He's been giving shir every day of his life for the last like over 80 years. What does that mean? Ben Azman, like everyone, no one gives shir Ben Azman. He gave his daily shir every single day. Even Ben Azman. Like, not so that we could say after he lived 100 years, just because like that's what he thought you should do. So he gave the shir. Whoever came. Like he just didn't miss a day of shir. He was in the hospital on Tuesday morning. A few hours before he passed away, he gave a shir in the hospital, wrote notes for his next shir, and then passed away. Someone at the funeral said, yeah, I'll give that shir upstairs in the Bezdin Shalmala. But again, not just like that, that's naturally who he worked on himself to become. And it's a very, very special midah of Anava. This is the midah that Moshe Rabbeinu is praised most for. It's called Eved Avdi Moshe. And this is the media that if we all work on, try our best to mechazik, and we'll have a very, very strong impact on our entire lives. There are certain midos, I'll really close with this idea. There are certain midos that are local. You know, like you have a certain issue you got to work on, you work on this mida, and you're working on a certain local pointed point. And there are certain midos that are global. That by working on a certain mida, they impact a person in so many ways. This mida manava is so fundamental that when the person is able to work on that mida, the ripple effects are great, and the opportunity for it to impact who they are in the totality of a person are very, very much real and very, very strong. We should be zocher mitzvah Hashem to grow one step in this very, very special mida. Okay.